gathering data, as good as the data may be, does not equal spiritual growth.
Dr. Tony Evans says becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ takes more than education.
Spiritual growth is progressively learning to let Christ live his life through you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Spiritual growth isn't just a matter of changing what we know or even what we believe. At its heart, it changes who we are. Let's join Dr. Evans now as he talks to us about how that process works.
Today I want to look at what it means, why it's so important. What is this thing called spiritual growth? And the reason why I wanted to look at this is because there is an exorbitant amount of confusion regarding what spiritual growth is. And just as a mother who is confused about what it takes to grow a baby, if we're confused as to what it takes to grow a Christian, then instead of assisting growth, we can actually stifle growth. Stifle our own growth or growth in others. Some, for example, see spiritual growth as primarily gathering biblical information. This group believes that if I take enough notes, attend enough services, go to enough conferences, listen to enough radio programs, read enough books, or perhaps even go to Bible college or seminary, that the collection of information about God, about Christ, about the Bible, about Jesus, about salvation, that the collection of that data will produce growth. Jesus says to the people of his day, you search the scriptures. You read your Bibles. You study your Bibles. You are scholars of theology, but you don't know me. So purely gathering data, as good and as accurate as the data may be, does not in and of itself equal spiritual growth. For others, spiritual growth is a mechanical process. People who fit in this category connect growth with steps, the 5 steps, 10 steps, 20 steps to spiritual growth. And you know how it is when you have to climb a lot of steps. It can get weary. Some see spiritual growth as primarily religious activity. They say, if I work more, if I witness more, if I am involved in this, that, or the other activity more, then I will grow tired and weary, because you are doing more and enjoying it less. Others see spiritual growth as some sort of ascetic existence. What do I mean by that? They look at growth measured by the things that they do not do. If you want to grow spiritually, well, make sure you stop doing this, and you stop doing that, and you stop going there. The Christian life is not a life to be enjoyed. It is a life to be endured. Because all they know is being a Christian is what you can't do. For others, this thing of spiritual growth is related to self-determination. It is self-improvement. These are the ones who grit their teeth and who say, I'm going to grow whether I like it or not. Then there is that passive group. This is the group that believe spiritual growth ought to be automated. I sit down and do nothing. God, if you want me to grow, you better grow me, because I'm not going to do anything. We know we're supposed to grow. We really do want to grow. But we're confused as to how to grow. And we wish somebody would explain it in terms that would make sense. What is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth may be defined as that transformational process of increasingly expressing the reality of our relationship with the indwelling life of Christ. Spiritual growth is that transformational process. It doesn't happen at a moment, just like a baby's growth doesn't happen at a moment, but it is this changing transformational process whereby I am increasingly, more and more, expressing my relationship with the Christ who lives within me, with this indwelling life of Christ. And because of this expressing of this indwelling life of Christ, I find myself expanding my capacity to bring God greater glory and experience His greater good. Spiritual growth is more of Him being expressed through less of me. More of Him being expressed through less of me. John the Baptist says, I must decrease, get smaller. He must increase. You're growing spiritually when more of Him is being expressed through less of you. We're just looking at one verse found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. What then is the concept of spiritual growth? We've given you a definition. It's all in one word. Grow. He says, but grow. This same author, Peter, writes a couple of pages back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, these words. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. Now, did you see what he did? He says, I want you to grow with respect to your salvation, but you want to know, what do I mean? Simple, like a newborn baby. You may not understand spiritual growth, but you sure know what physical growth looks like. Like a newborn baby. Spiritual growth has to do with life. It's not first and foremost with a program. It's not first and foremost with a curriculum. It's not first and foremost with activities. Not because those are not important. They are important. And we're going to talk about those things. But they're only important if they're facilitating a life. The issue of growth is living. And the idea of growth is the ability to maximize more of the life you have. All the stuff that we're going to talk about and that is a part of life is to facilitate life. Spiritual growth is about life. Therefore, it must take place on the playing field of life. Here at church is not where your growth will occur. It won't occur here. You will learn information about growth here. You will get a context to encourage growth here. But growth can only occur where life is being lived. That's why you've got to always connect growth to the principle of life. Like a newborn baby has to grow, that is, expand its life. Spiritual growth is a life to be lived, not just a lesson to be learned. So is it any wonder that Jesus would say, I have come to give you life. And to give you life more abundantly. So that means if I'm not enjoying or experiencing spiritual growth, and Jesus has come to give me not only life, but give me a flourishing, growing, abundant life, then maybe I've messed with the relationship issue and traded it in for something less. Spiritual growth is progressively learning to let Christ live his life through you. And that, brothers and sisters, only happens by relationship. To help us to understand this concept, we've been given two words. He says, I want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to grow, and we've got these two ingredients. And these two ingredients will partner with each other to enable you to grow. But let's get straight what we're growing. We're growing in the grace and the knowledge of a person, Jesus Christ. Not the grace and knowledge of a program, not the grace and knowledge of a denomination, not the grace and knowledge of something else. We are growing in grace and knowledge of this person. Because growth is about life. And life is connected to relationship. And in order for life and growth to occur and to keep occurring, two things have to be in ongoing, increasing supply, and that is grace and knowledge.
Dr. Evans will take an even closer look at grace in a moment when he continues this first message in our current series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. If you'd like to get the entire collection, including bonus material we won't be able to present on the air, we're offering it right now as our special thank you gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a donation of any amount. So visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Make your contribution and let us send you The Essentials of Spiritual Growth with our thanks. Don't put it off, though, because this limited-time offer won't be available for long. Again, that's tonyevans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message after this.
It's not about being stronger than anybody else. It's not about telling everyone what to do. It's not about being the alpha male. What it is to be strong, but not in your own strength. To lead, but not in the way you expect. Discover the secret to strength and influence in this unique documentary feature, Kingdom Men Rising, April 29th and 30th in theaters nationwide. Be the man God created you to be. Kingdom Men Rising, featuring Kirk Franklin, Tony Dungy, Lecrae, Tim Brown, Tony Evans, Priscilla Shire, Troy Vincent, John Kitna, and more. Coming to theaters nationwide, April 29th and 30th. Visit tonyevans.org for more details. Kingdom Men Rising.
Let's talk about grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for you based on the work of Jesus Christ. It is God's inexhaustible supply of goodness whereby he will do for you what you could never do for yourself. Grace, as we have learned over and over, is always a gift. You can't earn grace. You can't buy grace, nor can you demand it. The only thing you can do with grace is to receive it. That's all you can do with grace. Well, if I was the devil and didn't want folk to grow, I wouldn't want them to understand grace. Not if that's the basis of growth. And so what most Christians wind up doing is leaving grace in going back to law. Law has 10 commandments, this many steps, this many programs. See, law drags you away from relationship. So he says, if you're going to grow, you're going to grow in relationship to a thing called grace. And if you're going to grow in relationship to a thing called grace, you got to get to know somebody. Grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Or to put it another way, the more you know about the relationship, the more grace you will experience. So if you are serious about growth, then the driving force must be, this is a life relationship that I'm pursuing, and I'm looking to him to make it happen, grace, and I'm going to get all the information I can so that I know what's supposed to be happening, knowledge. He says, to him be the glory. I want to grow. I want to maximize my spiritual identity and my spiritual reality. So therefore, God, I'm going to go to church, but I'm not going to just go to church because it's Sunday. I want to meet you today. I'm going to read my Bible, but I'm not going to read my Bible because a verse a day keeps the devil away. I'm going to read my Bible because I want to see you today. I want to hear from you today. I want to be in your presence. I'm going to pray, but not because it's the right thing to do, although it is. I want to pray because you talk to people you love. It's all about you. God exists for his glory. God's greatest goal is his greatest glory. See, you have to follow this because this will totally switch your approach to spiritual growth. Many of us are not growing, not because we don't want a relationship, and not because we aren't doing the things that facilitate a relationship, but we're pointing the relationship in the wrong direction. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 43 verses 6 and 7 says that I made man for my glory. So important is this issue that the Bible defines sin as failure to bring God glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're not a sinner just because you do real bad things. You're a sinner because you fail to live up to your created reason for being, to bring God glory. To glorify God means to promote him as spectacular. To glorify God means to draw attention to him as our primary purpose for being. To glorify God means he wants to go public, but his problem is he's invisible. But he doesn't want to be invisible, he wants to be visible. So what he has decided to do is create a whole race of people whose full-time job it is to make him visible. That men might see God as you make him manifest. To glorify God means to promote his name, and to promote his name means to promote his reputation. Grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? So that Christ, God, may be glorified. Once you make this decision, This is the radical decision. There are no 10 steps or 20 steps here. This is a radical decision. When I wake up tomorrow morning or the rest of today, is my life pointed toward his glory? Is that my passion? So passionate is God about this, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. He says, do all to the glory of God. So there's only really one question. Will this glorify God or won't it? Boom. We often ask the question, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I go there? Oh, that's not the question. The question is, will this glorify God or won't it? Once you make that decision, while pursuing a relationship, you will have put shades on that will change the coloration of all of your life. What God is after is his own glory. He wants you to draw attention to him. He wants you to make a big deal about him. He wants you to exemplify him. And if you're pursuing a relationship with Christ, with the goal of bringing glory to him, you are going to grow at a speed that you've never ever grown before. Growth will take care of itself. You won't have to find growth. You won't have to look for growth. You people will be saying, like we say to kids, "You look how tall you've gotten." Because it will be evident to all, because God will always expand that which brings him more glory. If God can get more glory out of it, since God exists for his own glory, then he's going to expand anything that's bringing him glory. So the reason why we're not experiencing more of God is he knows he won't get more glory out of it. It will only expand your kingdom, not his. Then what's in this for me? If I'm pursuing this relationship and he's getting all the glory, where do I come in? Well, when you pursue his greatest glory, then you experience his greatest good. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the stuff will be added to you. One of the things I did on my vacation was went to the movie and saw the movie Signs. It's about an alien invasion. That movie comes down to the last few minutes. And this aliens are invading the world. And this guy is hitting the alien. The two scenes. One, the guy's hitting the alien with a baseball bat. Okay? And he inadvertently knocks over some water. And the water spills on the alien. His flesh begins to boil because it couldn't take water. Couldn't take water. Now, the government's trying to figure out how we're going to bomb these aliens, how we're going to do this, only to discover they just can't handle water. There were plenty of water to go around. We can water all day. So they were always operating on these fields because they were away from water. They couldn't handle water. That's how grace is. Grace has already got the stuff you need. It's right there all the time. But then it comes down to the last sequence. In the last sequence, I know I'm ruining the movie for some of y'all who haven't seen it, but tough. It's time for the illustration now. It comes down to the little boy. The alien is holding the little boy in his hands. And the father is on the horns of a dilemma because the father has stopped believing in God. He's had too many tragedies, too many difficulties. He can't trust God anymore. And you know what it feels like when God has disappointed you. And this alien has the power of life and death in his hands. So they're staring at each other and they're eyeing each other. But he knows he's got to do something because the alien has over him his forearm, which has this poison that comes out of it. And one whiff of the poison, you die. So what are they going to do? He then lets the poison seep out into the nostrils of the man's son. Instant death. When the poison seeps out, they attack him. The water is spilled. They have victory over him, but that hadn't solved the problem for the son because the son has had this poison shot at him. But at the end of the movie, a link is made. See, earlier in the movie, the boy suffered from asthma. Save your money. Early in the movie, the boy suffers from asthma. In fact, they almost lost him a lot of times because of asthma. He can't breathe, and he's there in the alien's arms with an asthma attack, and he can't breathe. And he wonders whether now that the boy has gotten the poison, is he going to live or die, only to discover that it was the asthma that shut down the lungs so that when the enemy came with the poison couldn't do what the poison was designed to do, because God had created a negative back here, because he knew about a problem up here, so that when the problem came, the negative would be there to meet it. That sounds like to me all things are working together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. When you grow spiritually, God will let you see that when he allows some mess over here, trouble over there, circumstance, or he's working out something you can't see, that when the enemy shows up, he's going to let you see how great your God is. You will see his purposes worked out in your life. So the question is, do you want to grow? It's in a relationship and it's for his glory. If you pursue his relationship and you pursue his glory, he's got your growth covered.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to wrap up the program with an encouraging thought about how real change happens in our lives. But first, if you'd like to get the complete full-length version of today's message, the title to ask about is The Importance of Spiritual Growth. But the best way to get it is to request it as a part of Tony's two-volume series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering CDs of all 16 messages in this series as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any amount. Contact us at tonyevans.org for the details. And be sure to take time to browse through some of our other resources, books, CDs, DVDs, and more. You can sign up for Tony's weekly email devotional while you're there, and you can find out how to read through the Bible with him on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. This week, we're focusing on John chapter 10. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. A lot of people believe that spiritual growth is something we do by sheer willpower, or in some cases, won't power. Well, next time, Dr. Evans explains that replacing our old nature with our new one isn't something we do alone. Right now, though, he's back with these final comments.
You got to look at this verse. And that is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Oh, what a verse. Because what God is going to do for you if you pursue his glory out of a relationship is told you in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it's a doozy. He says, here's what I'm going to do. Let me read verse 6, 17, and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, so this is this for everybody, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Here's what he's saying. If you will contemplate my glory, focus on my glory, dream about my glory, think about my name, my reputation, the promotion of my agenda, if you will make my glory your passion, then you will be looking at a mirror. And when you look in a mirror, what do you see? You see it coming right back at you. God says, look at my glory. And my glory that you bring me is coming back at you. I am going to change you. You've been trying to change you for years. Your mate been trying to change you. Your mama been trying to change you. Medicine been trying to change you. God says you need the mirror of my glory, which will transform you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.